Hey, this is John Bolger with Premier Guitar. I am with Tyler Bryant of Tyler Bryant and the Shakedown. Tyler, man, thanks for having us in your guitar lair.
Yeah, this is my den, man.
your guitar dojo.
No, man, I'm so excited that you guys are here. Like, for a guitarist, this is a dream to do a rig rundown.
Well, thank you. Well, yeah. Man, God, I love your playing, love your whole thing, rock and roll deal.
Thank you.
And love this guitar. Let's hear about this.
Well, you know, we should start with this one.
Oh yeah, actually, because, good call.
We should start with this one because this is kind of the third iteration. So this is, I believe I was 15, maybe I was younger than that. I was probably 13, 14, opening for Dwight Yoakam with my blues band. We were called the Blues Buddies. And so everyone wants the two-step and we're playing straight blues. And there was a man named Don Nelson in the crowd who asked me what my dream guitar was. And I told him a 1960 Fender Strat. And I couldn't, he said, why don't you have one? I said, I can't afford a 1960 Fender Strat. And then 3 days later, something like that, this showed up at my house. And so this was sort of my childhood Strat that I sort of built everything on.
I mean, I've been actually following you for a long time. And I remember when this, like seeing you with just this guitar, I'm like, how's that kid got that?
No, I know. And it was a generous gift. And
And even as a kid, you played great, man.
It was just more incentive to, you know, to keep kind of chasing down
the guitar. So great.
I hope that I can do that one day and just be like, yo, kid, here's a really sick Strat.
Yeah. Well, okay, and you put a lot of this wear on it yourself, right?
Yeah, it looked, I think maybe his original idea was give it to the kid and then let him play it and then one day I'll sell it. And then, of course, you can see, this is just from years of sweating. And then we were playing at a club called Dylan's in Paris, Texas, and you see this little ring here. We took a break and I set the guitar on top of my amp. Wouldn't you do when you're a kid?
Sure.
You know, someone came up and set a Coors Light on it or something.
Yeah.
You know.
It's just a $20,000 guitar. Put your
gear
on it. Yeah.
I know, yeah. So this was the kind of the one that kicked them all off.
Oh, that's so great, man. And is it retired from touring and just now?
You know, it's not retired from touring. I take it out for special shows.
Yeah, yeah. Good for you.
Because I don't know if you know, we had a lot of guitars stolen from us.
No. Okay, let's put the word out and happened?
So we were doing a headline tour and we were driving through Spokane, Washington, and a bunch of guitars got stolen. Wow. And this was 5.5 years ago. And so one of the guitars that got stolen was the one that, it was this guy.
Oh, good segue. See?
Yeah, so this is the one that Fender made this for me when I was a kid, and it's just a 1960. I mean, it's the same neck as this guy, same pickups. It's the same everything. It's just pink, which stemmed from the pink Cadillac. I'm a huge Elvis fan, so
sure.
This guitar was taken and missing for 5.5 years.
Wow.
So this is a guitar I had for all the Jeff Beck tours. Like when we played with Aerosmith, Steven Tyler wrote pink. It's red, but not quite on the back. They sanded that off. Like we got to induct Steve Cropper into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and I was afraid I was going to mess up the lyrics to Midnight Hour, so I wrote them right here. You can still see a couple, but they sanded that off, and a guitar shop called River City Guitars in Spokane found it for me, bought it, and sent it back to me.
Oh, God.
This is recently.
Wow.
So this was my main guitar, and it's a custom shop, 60, reissue.
Yeah, did it feel pretty similar to
it feels, obviously it's got more frets on it because the frets have been worn down significantly on that, but it feels amazing and it sounds incredible. These are some of the best single coils I've ever heard.
And they're true single coils. And 60 cycle thing, does it bother you very much or?
I kind of like it and I'll tell you why.
Sure.
I remember hearing Beck for the first time when I was a kid, and when they flipped his amps on and I heard zzzz, I was like, oh, I know it's coming. It's just an artifact that I think is cool.
Yeah. It is part of the tone. I mean, it is part of it. I get it.
It's part of the thing. Most of my Strats now have humbuckers in them.
Yeah.
But I can't bring myself to put a humbucker in this because I just love it.
Right.
And obviously the same with the original one, but it was cool. I took this one to the custom shop years ago with the original 60, and that's kind of where this one came from.
God, so great.
And it was missing for 5.5 years. How crazy is that?
Wow. It really kind of gives you some faith in humanity that something like that comes back to you.
No, it does. I mean, I checked Craigslist and eBay and everything so often, and then finally I get a call from a guy that goes, I'm 99.9% sure I'm holding your guitar. And he and I said, what are some of the defining marks? Does it have this and this on the back? And he's like, nope, looks like someone sanded that off. And I was like, what's the serial number? So whoever stole it didn't change the back plate, which would have been an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
So that's yeah, that's Pinky One.
That's like Thief 101. You change the serial number.
Yeah. So that's Pinky One, which brings us to then this guitar has kind of become my main one. When this guitar was stolen, My parents, you know, my dad works in a factory, my mom's a school teacher. They like borrowed some money, pulled some cash together, and they bought me this guitar. And
that's great.
It's so I didn't realize how much it meant to me until I took the pick guard off and I realized that my parents had like carved their names on the inside.
Oh,
and so it's kind of got a lot of personal sentimental value. And someone made this pick guard for Graham and made the mistake of sending it to my house. So I put it on. Tim Shaw made this pickup for me.
Oh.
So it's just a really stellar humbucker.
That's great. Yeah, like the Shawbuckers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I
played. He's great. He's amazing.
He's truly epic. And I played one of those like Fender American Elite, like one of the production model things. And I liked the humbucker so much that I went and I reached out to Tim Shaw, and he made me a version of that. Yeah,
it's great. I think part of the secret of that is that they're not overly powerful. You know,
so you
get, I don't know, and maybe even a little microphonic. They make very.
I think
alive.
The Shawbuckers are absolutely incredible.
Yeah, Tim's great, man.
Yeah,
and he was back in Gibson during the day, during kind of a golden age of
doing
Gibson.
The PAFs.
Right,
and,
right. So, it's cool to see people go from one amazing company to another, and.
So this guitar took the brunt of, you know, when this one got stolen, we were just kind of amping up on touring.
Sure.
So this guitar was the one for, like, you know, all of the AC/DC, all the Guns N' Roses, like.
Oh, and you guys are out all the time.
We're on the road so much.
Yeah, and it's a little deceiving because you're in Europe so often
that's
a great way to do it. Like, disappear there. And then when you get back to the States, people were like,
I know,
Nobody ever gets tired of you because you're...
We've had to try to tour more in the States because we've been over there so much.
Yeah.
But this one kind of, you know, just took the brunt of it. You know, it didn't come looking like this, which is another... Like, you get all the Instagram guys being like, why did you drag your guitar behind your mom's car, dude? Like, that looks lame. But it's just from... Yeah. Doing 280 shows,
right?
You know,
high mileage,
like in 380 days, essentially. You know.
Yeah, I mean, there is no substitute for just like mileage, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's so. Those are your two main tours, and this is your third.
Yeah. This is it's a cool story about this guy. So I went to one of the NAMMs, and I saw a version of this guitar, and Fender only made so many of them. And I liked the idea of having a Tele neck pickup and the humbucker, which this is an Eddie Van Halen. So it's really hot, and then this is super bright and twangy.
Oh,
I
cool.
love the Tele neck pickups. And it's a stellar guitar. Feel the neck on this.
Ooh, wow. Feels like an old friend.
Yeah, it does. And it plays like it, too.
Yeah. Wow, man. So you never use your whammy bar?
I do. From time to time, mainly in the studio. This one's cool because it has like the locking, like the push, the push in guy. I've got this Jeff Beck Strat that I got on tour with him. This is kind of cool.
Oh, that's great. Oh,
yeah,
geez,
I love it.
Man.
But I just actually just like 2 nights ago, I broke the whammy bar off in there.
Okay,
so
yeah.
So the whammy bar stuck in there, so I have to get it drilled out.
Apparently, you do use the whammy bar.
I do. Yeah, a lot at home. So this is called The Judge, because I was serving on jury duty when I got it.
No.
And so this is from the Fifth Circuit Court Judge Joe P. Binkley in Tennessee.
Oh, that's cool.
I got that in the mail. So this is The Judge. You can see they're labeled up here.
That's
so
great. All standard tuning or?
We're in E-flat. We're in E-flat most of the time.
Is the rock and roll standard.
Yeah. Well, I do it for my voice. I can kind of shine a little bit better.
Sure.
Half step down. But I'll show you this guy.
Good.
It sounds really cool.
I had hoped.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's get a little less drive on there. So the that's the neck pickup, which sounds just. So the bridge is a lot hotter, you know, like.
It's great though, all those voices. You know?
And you can do the two together, which then. So it's kind of nice.
Oh, it's great. Which it reminds me, if you haven't, if you're not following him on Instagram, you should, because he's Tyler's always laying down this cool bluesy rocky stuff on Instagram, noodling much like that, but it's like inspiring. So,
oh man, thank you very much.
Yeah,
I have a lot of fun making those tracks, and
it's so much fun, right?
I started making those tracks like available for kids to practice over, because I do it like even when we're on the road, I take in like a little Universal Audio mobile recording rig and am constantly like programming beats and you know, just making stuff for me to jam with, because otherwise I play like I'm in Guitar Center on a Saturday morning.
Right.
So I have to have some sort of like walls to practice in. Right. Otherwise I just shred.
Yeah. That way it's like music.
Yeah.
Instead of just wankery, it's music.
Yeah. So this is a guy that I just got recently on our last European tour, and it's the D'Angelico Deluxe DC, and I've never had a guitar like this. I've never had a 335.
So sexy, that kind of champagne.
Yeah, they call it rose gold, and so I got it. You know, obviously I'm into the pink color. But this thing sounds. Let me kill this verb. It sounds so nice. So that's a pretty cool sound. And then
that's great.
It kind of this style of guitar makes you play completely differently. You know? It's a cool sounding.
Man, do you ever feel like hollow bodies kind of do better dry than?
Yeah.
It's like you feel. It's, I don't know. It's like you can hear.
Yeah, they're really nice when you don't have like any reverb or delay. Like I'm a sucker for delay and reverb.
Oh, me too. I want to swim in that stuff.
Yeah, me too.
But if I don't have the option, a hollow body. Just
well, then you get into
better.
It sounds so good unplugged.
Right.
So like I remember the day I got this. During soundcheck we were playing songs that we played 40 nights in a row, and I was playing them completely different because the instrument speaks differently.
Yeah.
So it was cool. Everyone made fun of me for a while because I looked so like just you know when you see someone with a Strat every day for.
Yeah.
5 years, 7 years, whatever. My whole life.
Right.
Like
right.
The Strat is my favorite guitar ever.
So it's a good fit. It's a really good fit. But changing up.
Yeah,
awesome.
it was cool I met the guys who kind of run this company, and they're so passionate about the history of the company. I'm all about that.
Sure, iconic company.
Yeah, and then this guy is funny because Graham actually found this on Craigslist. And he sent me a link to it and was like, I'm thinking about getting this resonator. And I beat him to it and I went and bought it.
Oh, see, and yet you're still great friends.
We're still buds, yeah. So this guy, this is a 31 National Duolian that someone painted over, like obviously with this really thick car paint.
Totally.
You can tell, like it doesn't wear, it just chips.
Yeah.
You know, and
like bulletproof paint.
There's some like tape on the back because I wear a lot of leather jackets on stage, and you know you get some static sometimes.
Sure.
But this guy sounds really cool. Let me show you. Also, have you tried these guys yet?
No, what is it?
It's the lightest thing I've ever seen.
Wow, it's deceiving because it looks like a...
It's a mag slide. It's made out of magnesium. And so it's like 80% lighter than brass.
Wow.
Because I don't know if you've ever been playing slide and like accidentally like getting into it and the slide's flown off and hit someone in the head.
No, never happened to me.
It's happened to me. That's happened to me. It's not a good move.
Yeah,
man.
Well, you're a rock and roll guy.
Yeah. So this guy stays in open G flat most of the time. And yeah, it's mainly used for like a... You know what I mean?
That is the coolest dobro tone, because it sounds dobro-y, but then you get these, you know.
What I love about it is they're so hard to control. Like, obviously I'm standing right next to my amp right now, so it's feeding back, but it's like every night it's like the danger in the set when you put on the dobro.
Right.
Because especially when you're playing through loud amps, it's constantly like wanting to feed back, but it can totally, it can clean up and, I kicked on the fuzz pedal, hold on. Yeah, it can really clean up. So that's my clean tone, man. I'm using the newest. Okay, so, but yeah.
What is the? Okay, so it's got like that Tele neck pickup. But what's the other pickup?
No other pickup.
That's the whole thing?
There's no other pickup. It's just a Lawler Tele pickup.
Because it sounds very resonator-ish.
It does, you know. And I've experimented with different, different placements of pickups. And, you know, when you get down here, you're obviously getting a lot more of a bassy neck sort of thing. And this is just the National Hot Plate as it comes with the volume and tone. Because I've had a few other resonators where I've you know, put tone knobs and volume knobs in. And
sure.
Tried a bunch of different pickups. And I just like this. It sounds... like you can get a...
Oh, yeah.
Even when it's clean, it's just like... So it's a pretty cool little instrument.
That is killer, man. It's so hard. I mean, that's like cracking the code because it's so hard to get a dobro, a resonator sound like a resonator.
It is, yeah. And I've tried the pickups down here, the bridge pickups.
Oh yeah.
Like I had one of the Trussards, and it's an amazing guitar. It sounds amazing. The Resogator.
Sure.
And he put a P90 in it, and then it had the pickup down here, and I found myself never using the one down here.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain bright thing that happens.
And they don't work well with amps.
Yeah. Yeah. This one loves Marshalls. This one loves like, and this is, we'll get to this in a bit, but it's another part of the reason I use two amps.
Actually, this is the perfect segue. I think we should talk about amps.
We should talk about amps. But yeah, just like trying to tame it has been a project. But
yeah, that's so too cool. And actually, I love that somebody jacked up the paint because it's great.
It's cool. Know? Yeah, and you can see where the slide like hits it and, you know.
Then you don't have to worry about ruining it.
Yeah, hey, I know.
Somebody did that for you.
I know.
So there's no guilt.
So I'm a huge Chris Whitley fan.
Oh, right. God, man, Limit the Law, that is the record.
So that was like, I always wanted one of the, one of the old Nationals just because he's like one of my guys.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that is one of my top five albums, Limit the Law. Yeah. Daniel Lanois.
Yeah, he produced that.
Yeah. Check out his rundown,
nice,
too.
Nice, dude. Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk amps. Okay, so take us through these two amps. And you said these are on all the time.
Yeah, there's no switching. I have my board wired, so I don't toggle between. If I want to check one, I just put it on standby. So this is a new sort of addition for me. I started using this about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I was rolling around Nashville with Graham, and we went in to see Pat Foley, who used to kind of run Gibson, essentially.
Yeah.
And he was doing artist relations for Orange, and I plugged into this amp and realized that I could basically hold a note forever with it. So I got one, and I got the cabs, just because I liked the way that it worked with my pedal board and with my whole rig. Like, check this out. So, like... You can just go.
And you're not even particularly loud.
No, I mean, well, it's got the attenuator on it, which for me works. Let me kill this Marshall. Oh wait, the Marshall was killed. The Marshall wasn't even on the whole time. That's like so quiet, but I'm still running 100 watts, super loud. I don't mess with the dirty channel. I have no business here. It's just these three knobs, and I don't mess with the reverb. I just. Right.
And I love the crazy Illuminati hieroglyphic thing.
Yeah, it took me a second to right. to figure out what that was.
Yeah.
It was originally a piece of tape going treble, bass, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I totally forgot to show you this. This was the one part of Pinky that didn't get stolen. I put this out to show you. I had this signed by Tom Petty.
Oh, that's great.
Whenever I was like probably 18 years old, before the guitar went missing, and that was the one piece that I kept. So it kind of lives down here with us.
Yeah, perfect, okay.
But so I love this amp.
And 212?
212, 412.
412. What speakers are you running there? Do you know?
I don't know.
Whatever came with it?
Yeah, whatever came with the cabinets. I don't really know.
I'm that way too. If something sounds good, I don't open it up.
Yeah, I don't ask questions if I don't need to, what I mean?
Yeah.
I love the head. I really just use these three knobs and the attenuator.
Great.
And I think it sounds better on full than it does on the half. Like, because you can split it to half power. But I love the way it sounds.
It seems like with the attenuator, you can actually stay on full all the time. Without
yeah, like... This knob gradually gets turned up during our shows most of the time.
Sure, yeah.
Both these amps are running through the brown box just because the power in this hood is kind of suspect.
Sure, and you can run two amps into it. That's great.
Yeah, so I got the Marshall really likes the brown box, and the Solo Dallas is with the Marshall.
Great.
That's sort of like, I picked this up when we were out with AC/DC just because... kind of like Angus's thing is just so...
Yeah, that's great.
So nice. So the two amps together sound...
And okay, tell me about this one before you play it.
Yeah, so this is a just 100-watt 1959 hand-wired. So it's the, it's the new hand-wired Marshall. I think it sounds awesome. There have been two tubes pulled, so it's more of a 50-watt thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I don't run this as loud as you would think. Like right now, it's on like... almost two. It's not very loud. The treble's all the way down. The presence is all the way down. So in a live situation, most of my high-end high mids come from the Orange situation, and then this is my like sort of the roundness to the sound.
Sure.
Because this guy stays really clean until you break it up, and I use a lot of the drive. I like the way the drive sounds when this amp is not completely on the edge.
Right.
And it also works with the resonator.
Yeah.
So this is sort of, the resonator loves this situation, and it's also kind of the way that that thing isn't taking off on me all the time. So
fabulous. Okay.
But yeah, it sounds... So yeah,
It's amazing. Once that comes on, you do hear all that.
It's the bottom end, you know, it really like kind of comes together.
Yeah, it's cool to find two amps that work so well together.
Yeah, and you know, like just depending on the tour that we're on, like if we're doing a small like club tour or something, I've got a couple of the stereo Marshall cabs, and I'll run both of these heads through one cab. Which is also kind of awesome because the phasing gets weird within the cab. So you can really crank up both of the amps and it's less quiet on set. And then the sound guy just flips the phase. It's awesome. I love it.
That's cool. Yeah, phasing always, that's like a black magic.
I think these amps work so well together.
That sounds killer. Okay, so let's talk about how you get into this whole thing. Okay, so why don't you take us through just the signal chain, where you're in and out.
Yeah, so let me think about this. I think this fuzz is first. The fuzzes are kind of like up top.
Okay. What is that fuzz?
This is a Jex Teles Dizzy Tone, and so it sounds a lot like... So it's a gated fuzz, and you can really like
that's great.
You can make it sound super small, like. You kind of got to mess with the gate sometimes. But,
sure.
It's really.
Wow, it really chokes those notes.
I know. Yeah, I like the fuzzes that do that quite a bit. The Mastertron is a similar thing. It's made by ZVEX. What I love about this one is it works so well with the Pog, but it also has like a sub, like a bass switch on it.
Cool.
So you can get, it's a little bit of a tighter gate on this one, but when you engage the Pog.
That's great. Only problem is once you turn it on, you can't turn it off for the song because you're so big.
I know. So there's one song in our set where we do a Muddy Waters cover. We do Mojo Work in, and it's the great. Judge in drop C sharp and with the Pog and the, you know, it's huge.
Yeah, that
it's
is so massive. Low and rumbly. Is your bass player like, come on, man.
he actually does a thing. He has two amps. He has one amp that's just his fuzz. That's more of the high, like, guitar frequencies.
Sure.
And then one amp that's the bass.
So he's
low
walking on your frequency.
Yeah, and so, our sound guy kind of is like, all right, the bass is eating these frequencies because he's eating up all of the, like, you know. So it's pretty
great.
Fun.
That's big.
Yeah, then next is the TB Drive, which this is a really cool pedal. This started out with... my guitar tech, Logan, he bought a pedal from Rodenberg, which is a company out of Germany, and they have a ton of great stuff. But he bought this pedal called the Gas 828, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And over the course of, I think, 4+ years, we started modding out the pedal. And then just through like a bunch of kids writing me on Instagram going, what pedal are you using? And it's always the same one.
Yeah.
Like these two fuzzes get turned on maybe for... probably 2 minutes total in a whole show.
Sure.
You know, but this is the pedal that's always on regardless of if it's the Strat or the Resonator. So we set out to make 5 of them, and we're pushing up like 150 pedals now just through Instagram alone.
Oh really? Wow, that's killer.
And so I did a thing where I like, you know, I wrote thank you notes and sent out cool guitar picks from my collection too.
Oh, that's great.
So like some kid in Argentina ended up with like an Angus Young pick. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's great.
But it's pretty cool. Like, check it out. So it's essentially two tube screamers with an extra gain stage and then bass boosts.
Yeah.
So dry, I sound like this.
Yeah.
With the first channel. Subtle. With the extra gain setting. And then you can stack the other one. And so then again, the clean is. tap dancing here. So that's pretty much where all of my gain is coming from. It's from
great.
That pedal.
You know, people throw around the whole like transparent, you know, word a lot, but actually that is really transparent. It just sounds like your rig angry.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And you can hear how clean the rig is set right now too.
Yeah. Like,
there's not a lot of amp breakup. So that pedal kind of came from a situation where we were, you know, finding ourselves with a lot of backline rental amps.
Sure.
And you don't know what you're going to get.
Oh man.
And
yeah.
So I would always be like, okay. And like on my backup pedal board there, I have, you know, another version of this pedal where it's like, I know that I can get at least sustain and kind of have a drive sound that I love.
Yeah.
And then the rest is really simple. You know, it's a, you know, Holy Grail. I use that reverb because it's got one knob and I can adjust it with my foot.
Sure. Yeah, you can't get in too much trouble with one
I can't
knob.
Get in too much trouble, and yeah. I just, you know, kind of kick it on. And
yeah.
So that's, you know, that's simple. Then the Strymon Timeline, which this pedal can do so much more than what I actually use it for.
Yeah.
So then I kind of, this is my main delay.
That's great.
So it's just kind of a nice thing for solos. And then we have a song called Wayside that has this big kind of epic guitar solo thing at the end. And one of the features I love about this is you can... So yeah. It's just kind of cool. You can do quite a lot with this delay.
Yeah, that's great. The whole stacking it up. Love
yeah.
it. And then the last little bit is this Cali.
Yeah, the Cali 76, which I just use that for the resonator to kind of make the resonator work with everything else that's going on.
Sure.
Great sounding compressor. It's like the 1176. You have one of these, right?
Yeah, it's the biggest pedal. It's the most impractical big pedal.
Yeah, you know, it's... I have to take it off of my pedal board every time we fly because it's the one, like when I take this pedal off, my pedal board is exactly 50 pounds in its road case.
Yeah.
Right. When I have it on, this is like, it's like 54 pounds or something,
right.
You know.
You put a Dynacop in its place.
I know, I know, I know. And then the 535Q wah.
Yeah. Which, oh yeah, of course.
It doesn't get turned on very often, but I like to have it.
Sure.
In the studio, I love doing that, kind of like the half-cocked wah situation, so.
Yeah, that's great. Well, man, Tyler, thank you so much for showing. I love your playing, love your whole thing, and you're a great host. So
for coming by, man. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk to your bandmate.
Let's do it.
I'm now with Graham Whitford of the Shakedown. Graham, thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, thanks for having us, man. It's great.
I gotta tell you, man, I love the idea of a band where one guy is on a Strat and another guy's on a Les Paul. It's like, it's just great to have those different sonic, you know, territories covered.
It kind of happened on accident.
Have you always been a Les Paul guy?
I kind of cut my teeth on a Strat.
Really?
Yeah. I had a couple Strats growing up, and my first guitar was like a mini Strat. I don't even know what company it was, but it was like this big, you know.
Yeah.
It was a Strat, and then I have this white Strat that's at home. It doesn't really go on the road much anymore, but my dad gifted me a Les Paul for Christmas when I was 17.
Yeah.
And
it's a good present.
It's a good gift. And I was like, well, this is cool. This is different. You know, it felt weird at first.
Yeah.
And then I used it at a rehearsal with the band, and it just, like, clicked. I was
right.
All right, it makes sense with Tyler's Strat.
Yeah.
And
there's just, like, a different, I don't know, man, it's like a different color, you know?
Yeah.
If you've got all the same color, it just sort of, you know,
Yeah, I just fell in love with Les Pauls. But that one that my dad bought, I used for the first couple years that I was in the band. And then, as Tyler told you, we had some guitars stolen.
Yeah.
Which was hard. I lost two Les Pauls.
Oof.
To that one and a Gold Top 57 reissue. This was actually the first guitar I got after I lost those.
So let's hear about this.
What? It's a 58, like an R8.
Sure.
Custom shop. I went down to the custom shop and my buddy Steve Christmas, who was used to be over there at the custom shop, he just pulled out the inventory list and we just started pulling guitars down.
Oh, so you just cherry picked the one.
Yeah. So I just kind of, it was between this and like a Lemon Burst. And this one just sounded better to me. It's kind of like a plain top. They call it a bourbon burst.
Hmm.
I love this guitar.
It's got
some
love,
it's got some wear and tear from the road and
sure.
A nice big beefy neck, which I like a big neck. So yeah.
Stock pickups in it?
Our tech Logan, he had bought these to check them out, and my dad had a set of them too in one of his guitars. They're Wiz pickups.
Huh. I've not heard of Wiz pickups.
Yeah, they're out of it's a guy in Croatia, I think, who makes them.
Hmm.
So they're cool. They sound great. I kind of like the double white thing.
Yeah, that's
it's
cool.
It's a cool look, I think. So
yeah, I'm told that originally. I think Gibson did a few, and then Larry DiMarzio was smart enough to get the patent on it. And at one point, he was the only guy that could make the double white, double cream. Yeah, Larry's a smart guy.
Yeah.
So, and now I think it's open again because patent only runs for so long. But
yeah.
Pretty clever.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so is this your number one, would you say?
It was, oops, I'm knocking stuff. It was for a while. I mean, it still is. It's just when we go out on the road, we're carrying our own guitars and stuff. And I bring three right now. So
yeah.
I would love to have, five, six out with me.
Yeah.
And this would definitely be out. But I guess that is a good segue into this next one.
Okay, good. Like it.
Which I just got this year. And it is another custom shop, but it's the 2018
R9. Yeah,
I guess they don't even call it an R9 anymore. It's like the historic something or other.
Yeah.
But it's
like
the cost. It's a good weight. It's like 8-something.
Man, this says free to me, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's totally, are you doing that trick that of putting the ball ends in there?
You know, I think Bonamassa does it, and then my dad copied Bonamassa, and then my dad showed me that, and I don't know, I like it, man. It seems like more natural because there's not such a aggressive angle.
Right.
I feel like I break less strings, and
Bonamassa is the only guy I've seen do it, but it does make so much more sense because you don't have the whines in there.
Someone told me that like Gibson originally intended it that way. I don't know, but. Who knows?
I don't know. I think if they did, they would have made the bridge longer so you wouldn't have to put a string in it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, it's like if they, it'd be so easy for them to do if they wanted to. They could just stop it right there.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah, totally.
So we're looking at you, Gibson.
Yeah.
What the hell, man? Go ahead. Just elongate that that bridge.
Get it right.
Get it right, man. You've been making this guitar for a long time.
Oh, but I love this. This has kind of become my main guitar recently.
Yeah, very and it just, sexy.
It the neck is just, it's like my favorite neck. It's modeled after the Carmelita burst.
Yeah.
Which, is one of the famous bursts that Bonamassa had.
And, yeah.
But man, it's awesome. But it sounds great. I think they're custom buckers.
Huh. Just what came in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. So. Show you what it sounds like.
Yeah, killer.
Oh, I like that one a lot.
Yeah. What's not to love about that, man?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Yep.
Fabulous guitar. So that is kind of your number one on the road, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. I would say so. And then let's maybe stick that over there. I'll show you this one next. This I got not too long ago as well.
On my watch.
This is
Junior, man. Like a 59?
59, yeah.
Good for you.
My friend Jason Roberts sold it to me.
Love it.
I've always loved these guitars.
They're great. Well, and I was telling you earlier, I remember seeing your dad, for the record, if you Graham's dad plays in a little band called Aerosmith, and they had a pretty good run.
Yeah,
those kids.
Yeah,
and they did all right. But I remember seeing him back in the day with like playing juniors a lot, like when nobody did. He was playing juniors. Back
there's
then.
Like that. What was that show? The Midnight.
Midnight Special.
Midnight Special, and he's playing like a 56 single cut or something, and it's really cool.
Yeah, it is so cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I always loved these guitars. I always loved the double cut and the cherry.
Yeah.
It's just such a cool looking guitar to me.
Yeah. I've got a 60 that actually had somebody put a neck pickup in it.
Oh, really?
Which, what
is it like a humbucker? Or?
No, no. It's actually another
P90. P90, yeah.
Does the bridge bug you at all, or is that... work out okay as far as intonation?
You know what, this one's pretty good. One's not bad.
If it ever bugs you, Joe Glazer has this bridge called, I think it's called the,
I actually have one. I have another junior that's at home, and I actually put it on there, and
it's like alchemy, man.
Him and Tom Bukovec.
Yeah, they designed it, and it's crazy because it looks like that.
Yep.
And all those intonation problems just go away.
Yeah, they age it and stuff. And but, you know, I mean, I know these are kind of hit or miss guitars. Sometimes they're okay, and then sometimes they're real bad, and it's like impossible. But this one, I've been playing it on the road, and,
you know, stock, man.
and it feels good.
Yeah.
And it's not like crazy weird tuning-wise or anything, so.
Yeah. That's great. Then you got the good one.
Yeah, and it's
you hit
super
on the hit or miss.
Yeah, but you know, I just love just the one volume and tone. It's just it just rocks.
And they have a ton of different varieties in that. You know, in that limited combination of just tone and volume, you can get a lot of flavors.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this guitar obviously rocks, but it does a really nice. I'll show you. It kind of cleans up really nicely.
Yeah.
So. Bring the volume down a little bit and
it's cool how on those it's almost like when you bring the volume down, the volume doesn't dip that much, but like it sweetens up.
Totally. Yeah.
It's an amazing design. And those dog-eared P90s just get nasty.
They get nasty, man.
Yeah.
I love it, so.
Yeah, okay.
That's a really fun guitar.
Very cool. It'd be tough to beat that one.
Man, you know,
Come on, Graham, beat that one, man.
I might be able to, actually. So this is my newest acquisition. I just got it in Spokane, actually, where our guitars were stolen. At the guitar shop that found Tyler's pink Strat. It's a 71.
Oh, that's great, man.
Custom.
Love it.
It's got replacement Nickel Hardware, and I think DiMarzio PAFs.
Oh, fabulous.
It was one of those things where I saw it hanging on the wall, and I was like, all right, that looks badass. And then I played it acoustically, and it felt great, and then I plugged it in, and it screamed. All so. Right.
Well, less talky, more play. Let's hear this. Let's hear this thing.
Yeah, I love this thing, man.
Yeah, that's great, man.
It's kind of...
Do you still have those little frets in it, or do they... Actually, they feel like normal
I think they might be... They might be refret.
Good.
Because they're a little bit beefier.
Yeah, those original ones are I don't know. I can't make my way around.
But they kind of have a bronze thing to them, so I'm not really sure what the story is there. But I will say that if you see it up close, it's got some checking. Yeah. And it's because of the guy, apparently, who owned it prior, put it in a walk-in fridge overnight.
So. Yeah. And why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, I love it. Kind of sustains forever, which I love. It just rings, man.
That's killer, man. And I know some customs are all mahogany, and then some are maple top. But I don't know what years were what.
Yeah.
But I wonder, man. I wonder if you can see right there if it's.
I think it's
through if it's mahogany. I don't know. It sounds great. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And it's a good weight. It's like a little under 9.5 pounds. So, you know, sometimes these things are boat anchors.
Pigs.
And,
yeah.
This one's not bad. I can actually play it on stage for a little while and not.
Sure. You don't have the hunch. Yeah.
But it's got this like cool, the neck kind of tapers off towards the headstock, which I love. It kind of gets a little beefier up here.
Yeah. And what's really cool, it doesn't have the volute, because in the later 70s, I think, like, even as early as, like, 72, they put that big volute back there, which is kind of awkward. But this has that more 50s vibe to it.
Yeah.
So you got in right under the wire.
Yeah, man. No, it's great. I love this thing. Yeah.
Good for you, man.
It's a new favorite. So.
Yeah. Okay, I get it. Okay, well, that's a great arsenal of guitars. Let's talk about these amps.
Yeah, so...
Doing a similar kind of combination to the
Tyler.
Orange and Marshall.
Yeah, man. I've got the Dual Dark 50 here, which, you know, I think is actually intended to be much more of a high gain amp than I use it. Uh-huh. As you can see, I've got the gain right here about 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
It really will go crazy.
Like, yeah, those are a very, I don't know if it's, I mean, it's almost like I've played some oranges that were like, had a triple rectifier kind of thing to them,
mm-hmm.
you know, which doesn't seem like their bag, because I always, you know, think of them as an old school rock and roll amp.
Yeah. You know, honestly, this was the first, I didn't have much experience with Orange, and this is the first one I plugged into when Tyler and I went to check them out.
Yeah.
And I was like, it sounds great.
Yeah.
I love it.
And it does. And sounds killer.
It works awesome. It's a tank. I've never had a problem with it, you know.
Yeah.
It just, they're built so solid. I mean, they're heavy as hell.
Yeah.
They're so heavy. But I think that's part of why they don't break, because everything's like, built really, really well. Yeah. But yeah, it's a great amp. And for clubs, when we have to play clubs and we're not playing, you know, festivals or anything where you can turn it wide open, you know, with this attenuator, it works awesome. So,
yeah, that's
you know,
great.
I don't piss off as many sound guys.
Sure. Yeah, that is great to have, because it's like with other amps, like Fender amps, you basically need the right size amp for the venue.
Yes.
With that, you can kind of do anything.
Yeah, it's worked out really well, you know.
Awesome. And then run into the Marshall, Celestians.
Yes. Yep.
And then this guy over here.
This is a JTM 45, the tremolo version. Yeah, which I don't really use the tremolo on it.
Yeah.
But
you don't really think of Marshall as a tremolo-y kind of amp.
I mean, it actually does sound good, but you know, I've got my, if I want trem, I got it down there on the board. You know, I mean, I just love Marshall sound.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat it,
quintessential, you know? Rock and roll amp.
And there's something, you know, like Tyler said, there's something about the combination that it just what this lacks, this makes up for, and vice versa. So it's an awesome rig, man. It's big and loud, and I kind of I like this one too, because it with the Klon here.
Oh, actually, that's a perfect segue. Let's talk about this board.
My board is pretty basic. There's not too much going on. I used to have a lot more pedals than I do now, and I've tried a bunch of different overdrives, and I have a lot of cool overdrives. I just keep coming back to this thing.
I've got a lot of stuff, but I just keep coming back to the Klon.
I think you mentioned something earlier, like an old friend. That tone to me is like an old friend.
Oh, man. I mean, well, there's a reason that they're so coveted and now expensive, because they sound like that.
I will say that I didn't spend $2,000 on it.
Good for you.
Was actually another gift from my dad when I was like 15.
God,
well, I think he paid, you know, $400 for it.
Oh, yeah.
Back
in the day, I mean, who knows how many he's had. I mean,
yeah, I think my dad's got like 3 of them.
Yeah, right.
He maybe even one of like the first ones. Sure. You know, so because they were Bill's up in Massachusetts, so it was
yeah.
They had like a direct line with him there.
And, yeah.
I think they were some of the first. Him and Joe were some of the first guys to use them.
They were probably handing them out like business cards back then.
Yeah.
Try one.
Yeah. But you know, it doesn't. It doesn't color the sound of the amp too much. It just kind of enhances it.
Sure.
Enhances the tone. And I don't like to use too much overdrive. I like a big clean kind of sound with a little bit of drive there. So
do you leave it on most of the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
I do, yeah.
Just get it from your volume.
I kind of have... It's kind of the way it's set up now. It's still pretty dirty, but it kind of does that. So.
Yeah, killer. Okay, well that's the bell of the ball. So what else? So you run in to your wah.
Yeah.
That's the...
The CAE Custom Audio Electronics wah.
Yeah. From Dunlop now, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a great wah.
Yeah.
And then I've got this EP booster, which when I leave the Klon on most of the time, this is kind of just a solo situation.
Sure.
And it works really well. It just kind of gives me that extra push.
Yeah.
And kind of helps, I'll show you.
Yeah.
So, kind of got.
It's so great.
Yeah.
Brings it to 11.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I've also got the timeline, which, like Tyler said, I don't use it for as much as it can do, but it just works really well. It's a road dog, you know what I mean?
Yeah, those are great sound delays. I know there are people that are like really into them and use everything,
yep,
which good for them, but you know, if you dial in your one or two great,
yeah,
sounds.
And I just love how easy it is to cycle through the different,
yeah,
different banks, you know, and you can name, like, I've got like a, that's our song Downtown Tonight, you know, I've got, yeah, like a, it's a slide thing, but, you know, got a little, slap back, you know? And then, you know, kind of a basic,
yeah,
tape delay sound here for like solos. So
it's great to have those sounds, dial them in, and that they're consistent every time you play.
Exactly, man.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're doing so many shows and
right,
you know, it just, it's good to have consistency and
yeah.
And then I've got the Flint here,
sure,
which is a great pedal, and you know, you've got the trem and the reverb.
Yeah.
So like on songs like Ramblin' Bones, bit of a subtle thing, you know.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So,
and then the last one, the I'm never sure how to pronounce that. I've got the same thing. They're great though for running two amps.
Yeah,
man, takes care of.
It's great. There's another Bonamassa influence. I saw.
Yeah,
he showed me this, and so it looks great.
Yeah, that, yeah. Bonamassa is like, he's kind of a tone guru, man. That
he
dude
is,
just,
yeah. He absolutely is.
He studies it. He knows. Yeah, I think we all learn stuff from that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his house is a museum.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Both of his houses.
Both of his houses, yeah. Nerdville.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, man, I'm so glad that you guys hung with us today.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
Man. Thank
all
you,
the
John.
Best. Yeah. Check these guys out. They're fabulous. Till next time. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to PremierGuitar.com/Rig Rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers. See you soon.